It is 12 minutes away from the top of the hour. Eric Johnson filling in for Mick here. Mick will be back with us on Monday. Another week of vacation in the books. And he's got one more day to go drop a line or whack a golf ball. I actually had somebody ask me to go golfing this weekend, and I was like, what? And I was looking at the temperatures, and it looks like it's going to be in the 60s. So I can't complain about that. Not like 69 or 68, but 60s all right. Hey, let's get an update now on what's going on down in the Kindred area besides football and all the other sports. We got Adam Spellhug with us, who farms in the Kindred area, and I know he's quite active there. Adam, what are you up to today?
Hey, well, yeah, playing farmer today. I had to go run for some parts for a bin fan, so just heading back to the Kindred area right now, down in the Lidgerwood area.
Okay, so do you want us to give us the football update first, or should we talk farming first?
No, we're having a pretty good run. You know, it's going to be a good game tomorrow against the old rivals with the Squirrels. So,
oh, it is? Central Cast? Like you said, it's Central Cast and you tomorrow? Yeah, what time? I'm assuming it's in Kindred?
1 o'clock in Kindred, yeah. Looks like the weather should be nice for a late October football game. So, okay. It should be a fun game. It's always a good rivalry.
Yeah, I got a chance to do the first game for Kindred this year. And not that they lost that game. Lisbon actually played them fairly tough. But I'm guessing they progressed since then because they didn't wallop Lisbon that day. So, and I know since it was a close game.
Yeah, and Lisbon gave Hillsborough a pretty good run here last weekend too in the playoffs. So now they had a good tough squad, and you know, Region 1, there's a lot of good teams here, and
yeah,
and we'll see what happens tomorrow.
See if we can have back to back state championships, because people should remember Kindred won last year, correct?
That's right. Yeah. No. Hopefully, that's the goal right now. But the old quick cliche is every week at a time here. So we'll see what goes on.
You never know. Knock on wood. I don't want to jinx anybody. All right. Let's talk farming. Obviously, first of all, why don't we give us maybe a little update on what you plant at your farm? Corn, soybeans, wheat. Give us the 411.
Yep. Just corn and soybeans. Been working in the seed industry for many years, but playing farmer on the side, and Dad decided to fully retire a couple years ago. So we're kind of southwest of town in the sand hills, a lot lighter ground, so I've transitioned a lot more to no-till. And, okay. And you know, these last two summers being super dry, I think that's been a good move on that side.
Right. What was the spring like then for you? Were you late planting, or because you're in that lighter ground, you were able to get in a little bit earlier?
Well, a little bit of both. So, yeah, we had, you know, that record rainfall and snow and all that moisture in April. And then the Cheyenne River farmed some ground along that. So we had a late, pretty high flood with Cheyenne south of Kindred. So it did have some prevent plants near there because they had the Cheyenne flowing through a couple fields. But, what I was able to get planted over in that ground, it's a little bit more loam soil. It was really good corn. So that helped out. And then the lighter ground out by the farm, did have one field that was tiled. So I got that in early, around May 7th, which for this year there wasn't a lot of acres of corn planted that first week of May in North Dakota this year. So that field did above average. And then, the non-tiled field, it was still a little wet. So they were more towards the 20th of May. Okay. And that was pretty typical, I think, for a lot of guys in the area. And that corn was definitely behind. I'd say, you know, we had wet spots early and then we dried up. So
okay,
definitely looking at how we can get some more tile or even on two dry years, tile still showing up pretty well.
Right. Did you guys get much for moisture then this summer? I know it's hard to say because the fair portion areas really didn't get much after July or mid-July or the 4th of July. I've heard different numbers on that. But we've had those few stray showers around. So did you get any of those mystical rain clouds, or have you been dry basically most of the summer?
Yeah, a little bit of both. You know, the ground we have closer to Kindred had some nice rains through there. So that did pretty well. You know, there's a couple of days I planned on spraying and wake up in the morning and there's water standing all over in town, and out the farm, didn't get a drop. So, it was definitely drier on our lighter ground, sandier ground, where I probably needed the rainfall more. To be honest, I think we were as dry, if not a little bit drier, this year than we were last year.
Okay. So where are we at now for harvest? Are you done with beans? Are you still doing beans?
No, I finished everything up. So beans been done for a little while now. I finished the corn up Sunday night.
Oh, wow.
That was kind of the goal, to get that wrapped up before, you know, a little bit of chance of rain and all that wind coming Monday. So got wrapped up Sunday night, and you know, don't farm a lot, so that kind of helps. And good help from my dad and my son helping out. So got after it pretty well. But I'd say the Kindred area is mostly wrapped up. There's okay. A little bit of corn left, you know, but guys with the heavier ground, more of that loam soil, that moisture that we had early in April really, really held out, and really, you know, some pretty good, I'd say, above average yields in the more of the loam and clay soils.
I was able
to utilize that moisture that we had early.
Right. I was going to ask you on yields. You didn't have to be specific or anything, but just yield. It sounds like yields did pretty good for you then on both.
Yeah, on the you know, soil type made a huge difference. Anything you know, looking at field view and climate, things like that, it'll sort it by soil type. Anything with loam or clay did well. Anything with sand did pretty poor.
Oh, you sure?
So, you know, had from 0 to 270 out in the same field, and it's just how much of either end okay. of the spectrum turned out to be that average, I guess.
You might have already said this, but are you the norm or not the norm for being done, basically, in your area?
I'd say, you know, there's quite a few guys are wrapping up. Yeah, so there's quite a few, you know, and even my travel here today, I ran down to Britain, South Dakota, and back. There's not a lot of crop standing yet anymore. So,
okay.
You know, I'd say for sure the beans probably been done for a couple weeks, and the corn is a lot is going to be wrapped up by middle part of next week.
Were you nervous in the spring just because of how wet it was? Again, I know you were probably in a little better area than most, but were you nervous because of how wet it was?
Yeah, you know, I figured coming off a dry year that it would soak it in pretty well. You know, we weren't like maybe 2019, 2020 when we had wet falls the year before, or wet years the year before, and then you get a wet spring. That's where it gets pretty ugly. When you have a dry year and then you go into a wet spring, usually you can bounce back from that pretty well. You know, and that's kind of where we're going into fall this year too. We're going into fall in a lot of areas in the state now pretty dry.
Right.
So we'll see what kind of moisture we get over the winter.
That's the next question. Although we can have a lot of snow and not a lot of moisture, so it doesn't always translate well depending on, you know, the moisture content. I would prefer, and I would imagine most people would prefer, after the harvest gets done, we get that little 1 or 2 week window that we get a few inches of rain. How many inches, and I'm sure you don't want it all at one time, but how many inches do you figure for soil moisture are you down? Are you down 7, 8? Because I've had some people tell me they probably could take 7, 8, 9 inches, not all at one time. But that's kind of got the feeling of how low they are.
No, I looked, you know, the ECRI station on Endon is probably my closest station. I looked just from, probably after Memorial Day. So like June 1st till October, you know, mid-October or whatever, we were down 7 inches from normal.
Mm, yeah,
so it was definitely, you know, we probably don't want to see 7-inch rain, but, you know, an inch or two of rain this time of year, it would definitely soak that in. And I know some guys were waiting kind of for that rainfall Monday to maybe do some tillage, just for how heavy, you know, some of the ground is, how hard the ground is on some of more of the clay soil.
Right.
You know, it's been pretty hard on some of the tillage type for the guys that are doing that. So, you know, we ended up with a couple tenths, maybe a quarter inch at the most, and that disappeared pretty quick.
Okay. For folks that have listened to our station for a while, Adam obviously used to do, probably been a couple of years, maybe a year and a half now since you did our daily crop update with us, but that was part of a new job or different job with GDM Seeds. How are things going over there?
Yeah, real well. So, yeah, working in soybean genetics now is for my main job, pay for my farming habit, I guess. So we're a breeding company and you know, looking at new genetics, so I'm helping with the selection on those, walking lots of plots and looking at bringing new seed genetics on the soybean side to the industry, and I got a lot of good things coming, so adding more diversity to the market, which is a good thing, and you know, trying to find and having that local feel, I guess, for selecting genetics that fit our area, right, and our variable problems that we have, you know, from IDC to you know, there's a lot of soybeans in Sussman County, you know, right. And a lot of the bigger companies, some of the other companies are more selecting, you know, beans that maybe fit all over the place. You know, we can help companies maybe try to find some niche products and smaller acreage type products or things that, you know, work in a couple county area and in central and northern North Dakota.
How much are genetics changing? Because I think they've changed quite a bit even in the last few years.
Yeah, you know, the biggest thing that's changing and keeps changing is on the trait side. You know, we are a genetics kind of company, so we're a little, you know, trait agnostic a little bit, so we can incorporate any new trait into the market. There's a couple of new traits we're looking at, too. You know, there's some off-patent things on some of these herbicide traits and maybe trying to stack some things. Even looking at maybe high oil. How can we get more oil out of some of these soybeans? You know, and having a high oil genetic stacked onto an Xtend Flex trait or an Enlist trait.
Okay.
Because with the new crush plants going in North Dakota, you know, having more oil output out of these beans we're producing, how can that be a benefit possibly?
Very good. Well, Adam, we appreciate the time. Is it gdmseeds.com? Is that the website?
Yep, GDM seeds, and up on the Google or either way, they'll be pretty easy to find it. So, yeah, we have about 40% of the world's soybean genetics are ours right now. A lot of that is South America. We're based out of Argentina. We have 70% market share in Brazil. So doing well there and trying to get some more of that up in the States here.
Very good. Well, Adam, good luck in the football game on Saturday. Thank you for taking time out. We'll talk to you somewhere down the road again.
Very good, Eric. Thanks.
Thank you. It's coming up. Yep, you too. It's coming up to the top of the hour. More Farm Talk straight ahead.